I am grateful for all that you've done to work with us to accomplish some amazing transformations over these last 7.5 years. If the past few years have taught us anything, it's that people who love their country can change it.
I think that people now, in all groups who deal with all issues, have been energized in a way that they will keep raising these issues to the new administration.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Israel's top justices refuse to court marriage equality, Tory MPs block queer-inclusive British sex ed, and we greet the era of Trump with an appreciative chorus of Obama Lang Syne. All that and much more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending January 14th, 2017. Israel's High Court of Justice signaled during a hearing this week that achieving civil marriage equality for same-gender couples will have to come legislatively and not through the courts. A few members of the High Court told representatives of Agudah, a leading LGBT advocacy group that had filed a petition with the justices on behalf of several gay and lesbian couples, that we need to follow the law, and less than a kilometer from here is the Knesset. That's the name of Israel's national parliament. All matters concerning marriage and divorce in the country are handled by religious authorities, generally Jewish, Muslim, or Christian, rather than through civil agencies. Deputy Supreme Court President Eliakim Rubinstein claimed that because civil marriage is also not available to heterosexual couples in Israel, lesbian and gay couples would be no worse off. However, no mainstream faith community in Israel will marry a same-gender couple. The High Court's official ruling on the Agudah petition was postponed to an undetermined later date.
A January 13th story in The Times of Israel cites a TV news investigation's findings that several state-funded Jewish burial societies in the country are asking bereaved loved ones not to bury a deceased LGBT person in certain cemeteries. A burial society representative in the city of Rosh Ha'ayin is heard to say that, "We're not going to bury someone who keeps Torah and commandments next to one like that." The revelation has drawn outrage from LGBT activists, some religious leaders, and members of the Knesset. Oded Fried, who formerly led the LGBT advocacy group Agudah, noted that Israel has laws that ban this kind of discrimination, but we see they are simply not enforced. MP Yael German has called for an urgent hearing in the Knesset to address the issue.
Peru has taken baby steps towards the legal recognition of same-gender couples. A court ruled on January 9th that the country must recognize the civil marriage of Peruvian gay activist Oscar Ugatechi to his Mexican partner Fidel Oroche Reyes. The couple married in Mexico City, where it's legal, in 2010. Ugatechi filed suit after Peruvian officials denied his request to change the marital status on his passport. If it stands, the court ruling would only apply to civil marriages of same-gender couples legally performed outside Peruvian borders. Nevertheless, a spokesman for the government agency responsible for registering civil marriages in the South American country has vowed to appeal.
Civil marriage for same-gender couples is legal in Portugal. And after traveling a rocky road to get there, Polish TV journalist Jacob Kuczynski and his boyfriend David have been given special permission to get married on the Portuguese island of Madeira. According to a report in Pink News, their request had previously been denied, primarily because Polish authorities made it difficult for the couple to file the necessary paperwork. The couple's coming-out video went viral and drew stunningly homophobic comments, including being told to cut their throats and wanting to send them to the gas chamber. After becoming aware of the shocking comments, local Madeira registry officials reconsidered the couple's paperwork and okayed the marriage. "If we can't get married in our country, we wanted to choose a place that is close to our hearts," explained David. "There are countries where it is easier to get marriage permission, but we chose Madeira because we fell in love with this island a few years ago, and since then we visit it every year." Jacob said the whole experience has been like winning a war.
A new survey by Germany's federal anti-discrimination agency, shows majority support for marriage equality. The report this week in the Deutsche Welle news outlet says 83% favor opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. More than 75% of the 2,000 people surveyed between October and November 2016 support allowing those couples to adopt children. Germany lags behind most other European countries that have already granted gay and lesbian couples equal marriage rights. Christine Luders leads the German Anti-Discrimination Agency. She called the registered life partnerships currently available to same-gender couples in Germany second-class marriages. But the survey also revealed entrenched prejudice against LGBT people in the country. Almost 20% consider homosexuality to be unnatural, and 40% say they find it unpleasant to see same-gender couples kissing. And the emerging far-right Anti-Equality Alternative for Germany political party, which currently enjoys about 15% public support, is cause for concern. Markus Ulrich of the German Lesbian and Gay Association describes the party as the small but dangerous alliance of religious fundamentalists, right-wing populists, and anti-feminist hardliners. However, LGBT rights activists can take heart that the survey also found that the younger and more educated the respondents were, the less opposed they were to civil marriage equality.
Conservative MPs in the UK have blocked plans for compulsory LGBT-inclusive sex and relationship education. Current law requires state schools to cover sex education only from a biological perspective. No British schools are required to teach students about the social or emotional aspects of sex or include sexual orientation in the discussion. An all-female group of MPs tabled an amendment in Parliament this week to the Children and Social Work Bill to make lessons on sex and relationships education, same-sex relationships, sexual consent, sexual violence, and domestic violence mandatory in all UK schools. But a committee of 10 Conservative and 5 Labour MPs rejected the amendment along party lines. Proponents of the changes say that the current curriculum is outdated for the smartphone generation of children who are exposed to the internet and influenced by social media. An Education Department spokesperson would only say that we are actively considering what further steps we could take to improve the quality and availability of sex and relationships education.
In other news, a transgender man in China has won what would be the country's first successful legal challenge to a wrongful workplace dismissal. The plaintiff, identified only as Chen, was fired after just a week on the job at a medical clinic in southwest China. While the court ruled he was illegally fired, the judge stopped short of requiring the company to issue a formal apology and didn't specify that the wrongful termination was related to Chen's gender identity. He was, however, awarded the equivalent of a month's salary in damages. The BBC noted that China's courts are not independent, and a politically sensitive case like this would almost certainly have attracted the attention of the country's central authorities. Analysts think Chen's case was settled to keep him from appealing, which would have brought even more attention to the issue. Chen told Britain's Guardian newspaper that this lawsuit was about three things: dignity, raising awareness of transgender and other sexual minorities, and pushing for anti-discrimination legislation. While he said he was satisfied with the ruling, Chen vowed to continue his political activism to expand the rights of China's emerging LGBTQ communities.
According to a new poll released this week by the giant Gallup organization, more than 10 million Americans, about 4.6%, now identify as LGBT. That's about 1.75 million more self-identified U.S. LGBT people than in a similar Gallup poll in 2012. The latest conclusions were based on data gathered over the past 5 years from more than 1.5 million randomly selected adults. Millennials drive virtually all of the increases observed in overall LGBT self-identification, the poll revealed. Young people identifying as LGBT increased from 5.8% in 2012 to 7.3% in 2016. Women in general were slightly more likely to identify as LGBT than men. Among ethnic identities, Asians demonstrated the largest increase in LGBT self-identification, followed by Hispanics. The proportion of LGBT Black Americans rose marginally, while non-Hispanic whites remain the least likely to identify as LGBT at 3.6%, but still up from 3.2% 5 years ago. In a span of only 5 years, the demographic composition of Americans who identify as LGBT has markedly changed, the report concluded. It has become larger, younger, and more female.
And finally, a CARE 2 online petition created by out actor and activist George Takei to oppose the increasing Islamophobia and persecution of Muslims in the U.S. has already drawn tens of thousands of signatures. As a gay man who spent part of his youth in a U.S.-Japanese internment camp during World War II, Takei seems unusually qualified to warn about what continued attacks on minority Muslims could lead to under soon-to-be-President Donald J. Trump. Takei wrote in his petition that Trump continues to stand by his plans to establish a Muslim registry and ban immigrants from certain Muslim countries from the U.S. It starts with a registry, with restrictions, with irrationally ascribed guilt, and with fear. But we know well where it might lead. National security must never again be permitted to justify wholesale denial of constitutional rights and protections. As of January 13th, more than 80,000 people had signed Takei's online petition.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 14th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
I'm Kate Clinton, and while I can joke about the political state of our country, it's no laughing matter what Congress could do to our civil rights.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine.
An informed community is a strong community.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America. The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats. But I've got news for them too. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states. We coach Little League in the blue states. And yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes, all of us defending the United States of America.
We're gonna keep on walking forward. Keep on walking forward. Keep on. Turning back, never turning back.
When most of the world first met Barack Hussein Obama at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, he seemed to promise a new political generation that would keep on moving forward for rights and equality. When he was elected to the presidency in 2008, the hopes of the LGBTQ community were raised even higher.
I am a fierce advocate for equality for gay and lesbian Americans. It is something that I have been consistent on. And something that I intend to continue to be consistent on during my presidency.
However, the stone wall of congressional Republicans would block the forward movement for so long that activists nearly lost confidence in the would-be fierce advocate-in-chief, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to deny President Obama a second term.
Obama did survive to be a two-term president, but his era of hope is now giving way to the uncertainties of Trump. The administration of the 44th U.S. president has racked up an impressive list of pro-LGBTQ accomplishments. At the annual Pride reception in June 2016, Obama recalled some of the highlights.
Welcome to the White House. This is the 8th Pride reception that we will celebrate together.
I want to begin by saying thank you to all the people that I'm looking out in the audience. I see some new friends, but a lot of old friends, folks who have been with us through thick and thin. And I am grateful for all that you've done to work with us to accomplish some amazing transformations over these last 7.5 years. You know? Every year we set aside this month to celebrate the ways that so many lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans have helped to make our union just a little more perfect. We honor the countless nameless heroes who paved the way for progress, the activists who marched, the advocates who organized, the lawyers who argued cases, the families who stood by their loved ones, even when it was tough, every brave American who came out and spoke out, especially when it was tough. Because of them, because of all of you, there's a lot to be proud of today. Today, we live in an America where don't ask, don't tell, don't exist no more. There will never be a full accounting of the heroism demonstrated by gay Americans in service to this country. Their service has been obscured in history, been lost to prejudices that have waned in our own lifetimes. But at every crossroads in our past, we know gay Americans fought just as hard, gave just as much to protect this nation and the ideals for which it stands. We live in an America that protects all of us with a hate crimes law that bears the name of Matthew Shepard. Thanks to heroes like Edith Windsor and Jim Ober, I always get Jim's name. Jim knows I love him, but I never know where to put the emphasis. Obergefell. We now live in an America where all of our marriages and our families are recognized as equal under the law.
Is this Jim?
Yes, it is, Mr. President.
I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you so much, sir.
Your leadership on this, you know, is changing the country.
I really appreciate that, Mr. President. It's really been an honor for me to be involved in this fight and to have been able to, you know, fight for my marriage and live up to my commitments to my husband. So I appreciate everything you've done for the LGBT community, and it's really an honor to have become part of that fight.
I couldn't be prouder of you and your husband. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. That means an incredible amount to me.
You know, when you talk to the upcoming generation, our kids, Malia, Sasha's generation, they instinctively know people are people and families are families. And discrimination, it's so last century, it's so passé, it doesn't make sense to them. So we live in an America where the laws are finally catching up to the hearts of kids and what they instinctively understand. So some folks never imagined we'd come this far. Change can be slow, and I know that there have been times where at least some of the people in this room have yelled at me. But together, we've proven that change is possible, that progress is possible. It's not inevitable, though. History doesn't just travel forward. It can go backwards if we don't work hard. So we can't be complacent. Securing the gains this country has made requires perseverance and vigilance, and it requires voting.
No, no, no. Don't boo, vote. Vote. Voting's the best revenge.
We have to work hard to make sure that jobs are not being denied, people aren't being fired because of their sexual orientation. We still have work to do when transgender persons are attacked, even killed, for just being who they are. I've repeatedly called on Congress to pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. We have laws that say Americans can't be fired on the basis of the color of their skin or their religion or because they have a disability. But every day, millions of Americans go to work worried that they could lose their job, not because of anything they've done. I know it's terrible, but because of who they are. It is wrong. The majority of Fortune 500 companies already have non-discrimination policies to protect their employees because it's the right thing to do and because many say it helps to retain and attract the best talent. And I agree. So if Congress won't act, I will. I have directed my staff to prepare an executive order for my signature that prohibits discrimination by federal contractors on the basis of sexual orientation and identity. And I've asked my staff to prepare a second executive order so that federal employees who are already protected on the basis of sexual orientation will now be formally protected from discrimination based on gender identity as well. We got work to do when LGBT people around the world still face incredible isolation and poverty and persecution and violence and even death. We have to work to make sure that every single child, no matter who they are or where they come from or what they look like or how they live, feels welcomed and valued and loved. You know, the great and often unsung civil rights hero, Bayard Rustin, once said, we need in every community a group of angelic troublemakers. I like that. And that's what I see here tonight. You know, people who aren't afraid to ruffle feathers in the name of justice and equality until we extend the full promise of America to every single one of us. And that's always been our story, not just in Selma or Seneca Falls, but in Compton's Cafe and the Stonewall Inn. It's the story of brave Americans who are willing to risk everything, not just their own liberty or dignity, but also doing it on behalf of the dignity and liberty of generations to come. You know, they understood a truth that lies at the heart of this nation. When all Americans are treated equal, we're all more free. And that's what should give us hope. You know, despite our differences and our divisions and the many complicated issues that we grapple with, real change is possible. Minds open, hearts change, America shifts. And if the past few years have taught us anything, it's that people who love their country can change it. You know, one of the most special moments of my presidency was that warm summer night last June when we lit up the White House. Yeah. You know, it was a powerful symbol here at home where more Americans finally felt accepted and whole and that their country recognized the love that they felt. It was a beacon for people around the world who are still fighting for those rights. It was a reminder that when the change we seek comes, and when we move a little bit further on our journey toward equality and justice, we still have a responsibility to reach back and help pull up others who are striving to do the same. So enjoy tonight. Have some champagne. Some of you already have, I can tell. Tomorrow, we get back to work. And by the way, we get back to work not just fighting on behalf of justice and equality for the LGBT community, but for everybody. Because if you've felt the sting of discrimination, then you don't just fight to end discrimination for yourself. You got to fight for the poor kid who needs opportunity. You need to fight for the working mom who can't pay the bills. You got to fight for some young woman on the other side of the world who can't get an education. It can't just be about us. It's about we and what we can do together. So I'm very proud to have fought alongside you. We got more miles in the journey, and I'm so glad that we're going to be traveling that road together. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Is this, in fact, your first interview in a bar?
It is my first interview in a bar.
That wasn't a pickup line, although MSNBC's well-known out lesbian anchor Rachel Maddow was meeting with Attorney General Loretta Lynch at the Stonewall Inn. President Obama, in June of 2016, made the bar that was the birthplace of the modern LGBTQ movement the first national monument dedicated to queer history. So it seems an appropriate place for an exit interview with the nation's top law enforcement officer.
During your tenure as Attorney General, you have gone out of your way to say your government is not against you, law enforcement is not against you. I was struck in particular when your department sued North Carolina over their bathroom bill that went after trans people. You made this passionate statement. You said,
Let me also speak directly to the transgender community itself. Know this, that the Department of Justice and indeed the entire Obama administration want you to know that we see you, we stand with you, and we will do everything we can to protect you going forward. And please know that history is on your side.
You saying that direct to camera, speaking to that community that has, I mean, the murder rates against trans women, African-American trans women in particular, were so important to the history of this place. It means a lot to hear the Department of Justice is on your side. It also feels like the Department of Justice may not necessarily still be on their side in the next administration. Do you feel like you can really say history's on your side? Things are bending in your direction?
Well, I think that, look, obviously a lot of things change with the turn of the electoral wheel. But history is bigger than just the electoral wheel. History is bigger than any one administration or even any one attorney general. History encompasses all of the change and the progress that we've made. And history is on the side of marginalized people who speak up for themselves, of people who feel isolated and left out, who speak up for themselves. It doesn't mean that there won't be challenges. But I will tell you, Rachel, this work has always been hard. There have always been challenges to this work. There have been times when the structure of government has been even more opposed to different groups than it is now. We have had state-sanctioned discrimination in this country for years, and the civil rights movement itself was about breaking down those barriers, breaking down those laws, and giving us the Civil Rights Act of 64 and 65 and the Voting Rights Act.
But the movements came first.
But the movements came first, and the movements, Rachel, are composed of people. They're composed of people who are living their lives and who look up and say, this is not fair, this is not right. And when they come together, whether it's here at Stonewall, whether it was in Selma, that's when you see change. Change comes from up. It moves up the ladder. And I think that people now, in all groups who deal with all issues, have been energized in a way that they will keep raising these issues to the new administration. And I think that it's going to be in a way that cannot be ignored.
Don't boo, vote! Vote! Voting's the best revenge.
We're going to work for change together. Work for change together.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Carol Myers and Christopher Gall contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. Judy Spall performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CJAM Windsor, Ontario, WRFZ Rochester, New York, KCSB Santa Barbara, California, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.